As usual, we're preparing for the annual performance plan. That is the reflections on that, whether they do adhere to our national priorities, whether they adhere to other policy requirements or policies requirements, and whether in terms of financials they are aligned to those policies, but also aligned, the financials are aligned to those particular APPs. It is important that we check this because if you look at our portfolio, economic development, you'll realize that it's one of those portfolios that are coordinating in nature. But then the challenge would be, how then do you monitor such a, or to oversee such a department that has, that's not service delivery aligned, but rather coordinating in nature. And it is also of an interventionist in nature. So we also need to look at that. And we're depending on you as a DPMNE to help us do our job to the best of our ability, but also through your guidance, we'll be able to hold the department and these entities accountable. So hence, we appreciate you being here and also you having prepared to guide us so that we can effectively do our job. So I'm going to, without further waste of time, allow before I allow Peter Paul to give us apologies, first introduce members to you, because I'm seeing you for the first time and I'm sorry I couldn't come to shake your hand because I'm late. I didn't want to waste more time. So I will introduce members to you and also our support staff so that you know whom you're talking to. I'll start with member in the pink, beautiful attire there. Memfulo, Thandiwe Memfulo, who's a member of representing the ANC, African National Congress, in the committee, followed by the whip of the committee, Mr. Gcele, and then followed by member of the representing the ANC again, Mr. Dliani, followed by Mem Matsimbi, also representing the African National Congress, and then Dr. Kado, representing the Democratic Alliance. We're supposed to be having EFF member. We're going to hear what's going on in terms of the apologies. The other member who's supposed to be here is, yes, the other member of the DA, Mr. Simpson, will hear the apologies. And then NFP, Mr. Mabika, we don't know where he is also. May I also introduce our support staff? We have our researcher here, Ms. Mbelekani Mabisa. And then we have the committee secretary, whom you've been liaising with, Mr. Mbele. And then we also have my PA there, Ms. Okay, we have our committee assistant, Uzonkolela Nesibongo, Mbengajwayela Lega. So that it's very official.
My name is
Pidman Makelin. I also again
Makelin.
Yes. I don't know why I'm calling, but I had a colleague Makelin when I was in another, yes, working somewhere else. Okay. Thank you so much. May I then hand over, that's Mr. Atkinson joining us. hand over to the secretary for apology.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wish to place on record that the only apology we've received today is from the Honourable I.M. Pikinini, who's attending classes at the University of Johannesburg from the 19th to the 23rd of March, and so couldn't be here today. That's the only official apology we received.
Okay. Thank you so much. That person can grab a chair that side because the other side is Thank you so much. May we then, I think you know Tulu also is the parliamentary guest for the minister. She's always with us. Thank you so much. May I then hand over to you for the presentation? Come,
yes, okay. Yes. Okay, I've been trying to
see, so thank you.
I feel good.
Let's wait for you. I guess at this side, more confidence and up to the members.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to honourable members of this committee. I'd firstly like to introduce myself. My name is Ideshri Modi and I'm from the Planning Coordination Branch at the DPME. So I'm basically responsible for strategic plans, annual performance plans, quarterly performance reports, and the performance section of the annual report. My colleague will also introduce herself when she's presenting. But in terms of our presentation this morning, it will focus on three parts. The first will be on the strategic and annual performance plan of the department. The second part will be done by my colleague Nokutula Zuma, who will actually focus to what the chair mentioned when she opened. And Nokutula's slide will actually focus on the alignment of the plan to the medium-term strategic framework. Then the third part of the presentation I'll do, and it will touch a bit on the plans and quarterly performance reports of entities. So that's basically the flow of the presentation. With that, I'll start off with EDD's 2018-19 draft APP. And then I'll move on into the 2017-18 quarterly performance report. So in terms of the feedback to the department on the draft, departments are basically required to submit first and second draft APPs to DPME every year by the 31st of August and the 30th of November respectively. So what we do with the draft is we take it and we assess it. We assess all draft plans of national departments based on technical compliance with the framework, also alignment to the national priorities of government. Treasury also assists the plans, and they actually look at value for money assessment when they assess the plan. And then we provide a consolidated feedback to departments on the findings of the assessment. As I said, DPME provides recommendations to departments on both drafts. However, EDD did not submit the first draft 2018-19 APP in August 2017. So what DPME did is we conducted an assessment of the 2018-19 second draft APP of the department. So they did submit a second draft. They submitted it at the end of November and we assessed. So the slides moving forward are an assessment of the second draft APP. The assessment covered the following areas: alignment to the MTSF, technical compliance to the planning principles, including measurability of plans and alignment to core functions of the department. So in terms of the actual assessment, what we found when we looked at the plans of EDD was that the department did not update its situational analysis for the second draft APP. It's one of the areas that we really put lots of focus on in the strategic plan and annual performance planning function. And the reason why we put lots of focus on the situational analysis is that we find that departments don't use the data that's available to inform their planning or to set indicators or to set targets. So we always encourage them to use Stats SA data or demographic data in their planning. So as I said, the department did not update the situational analysis. The situational analysis presents the current changes in the external and internal environment of the department and also outlines the challenges that may have a bearing on the achievement of the department's goals. So for us, we are of the opinion that nothing remains the same. In the environment of EDD, much would have changed within the financial year, and we would have expected to see these changes in the APP. Then the APP outlines new opportunities and strategies the department will embark on to address the identified challenges. Updating of the situational analysis is critical as it reflects that the department's planning is evidence-based on current issues in the micro and macro environment at large. As you know, we're moving towards a strong focus on evidence-based planning in government, and therefore we always encourage and push departments to always update the situational analysis of their plan. In terms of objectives and indicators, we did find that the department has revised the objectives and there is alignment between the revised strategic plan and the 2018-19 APP. So that is a positive. With this particular planning cycle, this was a huge challenge. Departments tabled five-year plans, they forgot what was in the five-year plans, and then they tabled annual performance plans with new objectives. So we do see that the department has collected it, and that's actually on a positive note. However, we find that there's no distinction between strategic objective targets and performance indicator targets. This is noted in all programs. And the department will have a challenge because Treasury and the annual report guidelines actually ask for reporting on both these areas. So you need to set high-level strategic objectives in your strategic plan with five-year targets. In your APP, you need to break these five-year targets into annual targets. And we find that the department did not do it. So strategic objectives are high-level outputs that the department plans to achieve, which contributes to the achievement of the strategic goals, and ideally should span over the medium-term period. And of course, performance indicators measure the deliverables which contribute towards the achievement of the objective. So those are basically the key findings of the APP assessment in terms of technical compliance. The other area of work that we actually focus on is the quarterly performance report. So DPME is a quarterly performance reporting system where we collect data on a quarterly basis based on indicators and targets that were tabled in the APP. And of course, all departments are required to ultimately reflect this data in the annual report. So I thought I'd just give you a preview of what's in the quarterly performance data. So in the first quarter, the department had achieved over 78% of its set targets for quarter one in the core program. That's programs 2 and 3. The department should improve on the reasons for deviation to reflect the root cause for the underachievement. The department should improve the corrective actions to reflect the solutions to be implemented to ensure that the planned target is achieved in future quarters. So even though the department did not achieve 22% of its targets, it does not clearly state how the corrective actions will actually contribute to achieving the 22% of the outstanding target. So there should have been some strategy in place to actually fast-track the achieving of the targets for the second quarter onwards. In terms of first quarter performance, the department has reflected overachievement in a number of set targets for the first quarter. So for example, if you look at program 2, the indicator on number of reports on black women and youth with access to employment and entrepreneurship opportunities. So the department didn't set any target in the APP, but then in quarter 1, they report that they did do one report on them. So we wonder why didn't they plan for it and they just did it. Is it an ad hoc thing? How do you plan like this? If we look at program 3, the number of quarterly cabinet level progress reports of infrastructure strategic integrated projects. The department planned to have 16 progress reports, but they overshot this target and they achieved 18. But interestingly enough, if you look at the next indicator, the number of cabinet and PIC strategic decisions on infrastructure implemented. Here too, the department didn't set a target for this for quarter one, which means they were not planning to do anything. But then you see that they have reported an output of 2. So once again, the whole issue of planning and the setting of quarterly targets comes into play. Still in first quarter, if you look at program 3, we still see underachievement in a number of set targets. So for program 3, the number of infrastructure projects evaluated, unblocked, fast-tracked or facilitated, or project assessments completed, they set a target of 1, but the validated output was 0, which means they basically did nothing for this particular indicator. The reason for deviation is that unblockings are claimed after work has been completed and are dependent on escalation. The next indicator, the number of PICC meetings held and facilitated, the planned target is 7 and they only achieved 5. And they say the reason for deviation is the availability of members have been limited and meetings will be accelerated towards the preparation for the cabinet. That was basically the first quarter. If we move on to the second quarter, you see the department has achieved over 71% of its set targets. So close on to 30% of targets for quarter two has not been achieved. So I think the question we need to ask ourselves is why hasn't the targets been achieved? But more specifically, to take the assessment further, we need to see where those indicators and targets are, and we need to see what budget has been allocated to it and what expenditure has been done against these programs. Because the question we ask ourselves is if a department is overspending on a particular program or on par with expenditure, surely that would mean that they should be achieving their targets. So that's another assessment we can do with Treasury. If we move on to bullet 2, the department has not provided the reasons for deviations and corrective actions for underachievement, and the department should provide the reasons for deviation for underachievement. And the reason why we say the department must provide reasons for deviation is because this is audited. And if they don't provide reasons for deviation and they don't provide mechanisms to actually mitigate these reasons and achieve, then at the end of the year, they won't achieve the annual targets that they've actually set for themselves. Because the AG also audits the reasons. So in other words, the AG sees whether the reasons are valid or not. And if they're not valid, then they need to provide reasons as to why they're not valid. So moving on to the actual second quarter indicators. The department has reflected overachievement in the number of set targets for the second quarter. If we look at program 2, the number of reports and social dialogue interventions to save and create jobs and reports on implementation of social accords. So for quarter 2, there was no target, but the department achieved an output of 1. Similarly with Program 2, the number of Cabinet and PIC strategic decision on infrastructure implemented. For Quarter 2, there was no target, but they achieved a validated output of 1. So as you can see, there clearly is a challenge with the quarterly target setting process. So they don't plan to do certain deliverables in a certain quarter, but they go ahead and do it. But then we can also ask ourselves, if they're going ahead and performing these deliverables which were planned for, what is giving in a particular program? What is not being done to achieve these deliverables? Then if you look at the indicator number of strategic initiatives to enhance the capacity, performance and outcomes of economic regulators held, the planned target was 1 and the department overshot the target and actually achieved 2. We're still in the second quarter performance. The department has reflected underachievement in the number of set targets for the second quarter. Examples of some of the underachieved targets are, so let's look at Program 2, the number of reports on support provided to departments. The planned target is 1 and the validated output is 0. So this could mean many things. This could mean, number one, there's no report that was produced, if we take it at face value. But more specifically, it could also mean that no support was provided to provinces by the department. So we need to interrogate what the real issues are around the underachievement with this particular indicator. If we look at Program 3, the number of PICC meetings held and facilitated, a target of 8 was set and a achievement of 7 can be seen. Then we move on to the third quarter performance. So the department has achieved over 81% of its set targets for quarter 3. So it's interesting to note that the department hasn't achieved 90% of target of reaching targets for quarter 1, 2, and 3. The most is 81%. So the department has achieved over 81% of its set targets for quarter 3 in the core programs, that's programs 2 and 3. The department has not provided the reasons for deviations and corrective actions for underachievement. And of course, the department should provide the reasons for deviations because, as I said, the AG is also auditing the reasons to see whether it's actually valid or not. So, in terms of the indicators for quarter 3, the department has reflected overachievement in the number of set targets for the third quarter. If we look at Program 2, the number of reports on NGP job drivers and coordination structures, the planned target is 1, the preliminary output is 3, so they exceeded this target. For Program 3, the number of investment initiatives facilitated, fast-tracked and unblocked, the planned target is 1 and the preliminary output is 3, so they've also overshot this. Still on Program 3, the number of strategic initiatives to enhance the capacity, performance and outcomes of the economic regulators held, the planned target is not, there's no planned target once again, but the department has reached a preliminary output of 2. Still on third quarter performance, Program 3, the number of coordinating actions to drive implementation of SIP 5 of the National Infrastructure Plan, the planned target is 1 and the preliminary output is 0. And we do know that this is a priority project and the department should be doing something in this regard. Then on the indicator of on the number of reports produced on the funding allocations on township enterprises by DFIs and government departments, the planned target is 1 and the preliminary output is 0. So as you can see, the department did not perform on all the indicators in the third quarter. So in terms of the EDD third quarter expenditure assessment, we got this assessment from Treasury and I thought it would be useful to actually add it into the presentation. So spending amounted to 611 million or 66.8% of the total available budget against projected spending of 612 million. This is attributed to the Terasano funds not being transferred due to outstanding annual plan required prior to transferring money to the IDC under Program 3. Then if we look at the budget per program, you see for Program 1, administration spending was 690,000, or minus 1.1% higher than approved projected spending of 52.2 million. In terms of Program 2, spending was 943,000, or 4% lower than projected spending of 22.7 million due to accrued legal costs. Let me do Program 2 again. Spending was 943,000 or 4% lower than projected spending of 22 million due to vacant posts in the program. So obviously vacant posts have not been filled and therefore you find this kind of slow spending. The underspending and underachievement of targets under this program are both linked to vacant posts that are not filled. So I think it does need to be flagged that there are vacancies in the department which is resulting in the under expenditure. In terms of Program 3, investment competition and trade program, spending was 1.4 million or 0.3% lower than projected spending of 524 million by the end of November. And this is due to delays in the finalization of the annual plan required prior to transferring Terasano funds to the Industrial Development Corporation. So in a nutshell, this is basically what we got from Treasury, and I thought it would be worthwhile to share it. Before I hand over to my colleague to do the slides on progress against the MTSS deliverables, I think I'll also use this opportunity to speak about the role of EDD with regard to the concurrent function. And it's not in the slides, but it links to one of the indicators in terms of the support that they should be providing to provinces. So EDD should drive a process where they bring all 9 provincial departments of EDD together and they develop a set of performance indicators that are aligned to the MTSF and the goals of the particular sector. We have approached the department to assist with this. There are challenges, but the successes of such an approach can be seen in sectors like health and education. So for example, the National Department of Health brings all the 9 provincial departments of health together. They come up with a set of indicators. It's called standardized indicators. And each provincial department of health will have the same set of indicators across the 9 provinces. And then, of course, the indicators are aligned to the MTSF. It's also aligned to the NDP. It's also aligned to the priorities of government. So this work has taken off many years ago in all the other sectors. We do have challenges with this particular sector, and we're hoping moving forward and in the next planning cycle we will be able to get better and provide support to provinces in terms of their planning. So thank you very much. That brings me to the first part of this presentation, Chair. I'd like to hand over to my colleague Nokutula, who will take us through progress against the MTSF deliverables.
Thank you, Chair. As my colleague indicated, Nokutula Zuma, working group meets theoretics, the face that you usually see in this committee. Unfortunately, he couldn't be here because of the annual colloquium for CIA. So he sends his apologies. I thought I should just jump on the slide that you saw, so that I would first show you the indicators where EDD is leading in under outcome 4. I'll be presenting both outcome 4 and outcome 6. However, in outcome 4, you are aware that EDD is supporting almost all the indicators, but I decided to have those where he's leading. Some of the of the challenges that my colleague has already alluded to is the absence of EDD in supporting the provincial department, because that's where you see having some more positivity in terms of achieving the national priorities. We had some discussions, as he has indicated, that maybe in the next planning cycle we might have the availability of the department supporting the provinces, because even if we go to provinces on their APPs and strat plan and the EDD is not available, really in terms of aligning their indicators, it becomes really a challenge. Coming back here, under sub-outcome 1, EDD is leading on the analysis trade flows against national economic goals and support the efficient administrative of the ITEC. There's been an updated presentation. Unfortunately, my computer crashed, so I'll try and speak to those additions that I've added on this presentation. And the progress for quarter 2, I must also indicate that this is the progress is up until quarter 2, because there was a cabinet decision that now the POA MTSF report will be now biannual. So the latest information that we have is up to quarter 2. So you might have the latest information if you've got that liberty to have access of the quarterly report from the department. But on our side, as per the MTSF POA reporting, we only have up until quarter 2. So the progress is that they've won the constitutional case that was brought against it regarding the introduction of trade policy directive on export trade missiles. And the directive was aimed at addressing supply of metals to the domestic manufacturing industry as part of the national infrastructure plan, reducing carbon emissions, assist in reducing the market demand of scrap metal, which ensures the large scale and scale theft of metal and cables. Although this is maybe the case that we see the positivity here, but we still want the department to have a discussion, even though it may not be the one who's leading the work per se and in terms of your cable theft. However, you would remember that there is a black market that we cannot deny. There is a black market which is affecting the demand on these items, which also affect the industry, at large. The second one is the approved institutional framework on the compliance of monitoring of local procurement. The achievement there is that the progress is that EDD has worked together with National Treasury in identifying of commodities to be considered for transversal contracting, and they've also working together in the intervention of mega tender for transformers by Swane, which was not complying. I can also say that there is work around this work that is being done by our department as well as National Treasury in terms of having the access to the National Treasury's database. So the work would be led by TIPS, the research company. There's a research that they've already conducted for us. So there will be that portal of databases, so that there will be that managing of the tender processes, so that there will be fairness in terms of the work that is done around this this work. On sub-outcome 2.3, the report around the increase of administered prices. We didn't receive any report from the department, but I must indicate that this has always been read throughout the iterations of your, firstly the delivery agreement and now the first iteration of the NDP MCSF. It looks like we are not achieving or moving around this work, and now we are caught by surprise of the VAT, and there's an increase. 1st of April, we've got three increases. We've got VAT, you've got electricity, you've got your petrol. And remember that already big industries like your manufacturing and your mining are already affected because of this, the cost of doing business around these sectors. And on top of that, there's these increases. And we are having the discussions within the national, within the technical implementation forum of how EDD can lead this work together with National Treasury and work together to see how the sectors can be assisted as well as the consumers at large, because eventually the end users are the ones who are affected. And also in terms of job creation, because if the industries, the cost of doing business is very high, they'll be thin in hiring, or rather even sometimes even fire people. 2.8 is also around the development and the implementation of measures to restrict the export of metal and encourage the use of metal in the production system. They didn't do well because they didn't meet the target. The draft export tax guidelines as well as discussion document has been completed and will be presented to the committee in November. I'm not sure if that has already been done, since I've indicated that this report is around, is up to the second quarter. And again here, back to also to the first point in terms of your scrap metals and this one here. It is unfortunate that we are not taking the advantage of the weak rand in terms of our production, the export production, because of if here we are not fixing ourselves here as the country led by EDD. So that's the discussion that needs to be taken forward through the technical implementation forum moving forward, be the next spending cycle, because we are at the last quarter for this, the last month and the last days of this financial year. Again, decreased turnaround time for approval of funding application by the DFI. Here we're talking about the IDC. We didn't have the report, even though we have seen a lot of job sustained and a bit of job creation. But again, I must indicate that the PME has been tasked to monitor directly those DFIs, SOEs, and because we have seen that it looks like the DFIs are not really doing what they are supposed to do in terms of contributing to the NDP. They are supposed to be part of economic growth, and they are supposed to be part of job creation and so forth, in aligning themselves with the department, with the priorities of government. But here we didn't receive the report in terms of what has been the progress, although they had the target quarter at hand. Another one is measures to lower the cost of financial services, such as banking costs, retirement costs. The financial sector regulation required to establish, that was their progress, required to establish the financial sector conduct was signed into law as at the end of September. Preparation for implementation, including confirmation the date. I must say that the financial sector or the banking sector is very expensive. The statistics shows us that 60% of the adult population in South Africa, they don't have bank accounts, let alone insurance and so forth. So you remember the case of Capitec of late, because that was the bank that was trying to say, let us cater the poor. Let us cater, because you would see even now, some of the banks were even deducting from your SASSA grant and so forth, which is really, how can you be something that you've been given, but somebody is still charging you a fee on that. So we are saying that EDD, together with National Treasury and other financial institutions, must have a look and come up with a plan on how to address this to make a financial sector be a friendly environment for everyone else. Just to go back to the first slide, the challenges around the local procurement, even though that I've already alluded that there is a work that is already being done by ourselves. But what has been the challenge that there is that there's no central entry point. Not all tenders are advertised on a tender publication portal. That's when we come in as DPME together with National Treasury to have that tender database. There has been mechanism to report non-compliant procuring entities. This has been a long-standing item that people are not complying, even though you find that, for example, your SMEs, the BEE score and whatnot, but you find that the entities were not complying. And whether not knowing how to go about implementing local procurement or lack of knowledge of the local procurement program, and the funding model that is required in capacity and high cost of local content verification. The correct method currently, there is no punitive measures or consequent management against non-compliance. We need to strengthen focus on localization to prevent import leakages with a major focus on compliance and enforce current provision, including provision to include SOEs. I think these are the entities that have been getting away with it rather than government, because government, since we had a 30-day payment, somewhere, somehow, that as well has allowed indirectly to trace whether people are also complying with the local content. The interventions regarding the local procurement is that DTI, I've already alluded in the progress earlier, and also that EDD has engaged with Kuka IGZ regarding the placement of orders for imported transformers. The decision was viewed to order locally produced transformers. DPME, National Treasury, DTI, supported by key procuring departments, will undertake the assessment project to determine whether government departments, SOEs and agencies purchase goods and services, and to determine the level of local content, which is what I've already alluded to. DTI will continue to conduct spot checks on local companies awarded tenders. I'm now coming to EDD's commitment to outcome 6. The commitment is to have 100% capacity building training of economic regulators by October 2017. Review economic regulators, consider further consolidation and update the related legislation subsidiary regulations by 2016. If it is 2016, that means there's long overdue, this should have been done. It means if it's still here, it means it hasn't been done. Develop a funding framework that ensures availability of funding for infrastructure initiatives and NIP projects with proven feasibility and affordability by 2014. Establish best practice for appraisal of PICC to achieve 100% delivery of SIFs against PIC project schedules and within the MTSF period. On the capacity, on quarter 2, there's been an achievement. There's a report on required skills for economic regulation priority that has been completed. agreement has been reached with the CRED, the content on the short learning program, and the department is currently supplying the supply chain requirements to approve the CCRED as a single source service provider. On the review of economic regulators and process date, the process advisory report, the progress says that the work on economic regulators has not been sufficiently achieved, to no clear indication of the lead department. However, discussion on structure of regulatory function to the state are being discussed at the SOC forum, the reform technical task team. And then the conclusion is that economic growth for the 2018 has been projected to 1.5, which is slightly up to that of 1%, which was last year's estimate. Job creation and economic growth remains our focus as government. However, that can only be achieved if we do our work as departments. What has been the trend is that we've always seen that department, they would indicate that they've achieved their targets. However, that hasn't resulted in economic growth and job creation. As such, as the department, since now we'll be reporting twice to Cabinet on the POA MTSF report. What we have done is to amend the POA guideline, because if you're saying you've achieved like 60%, you have a green, but that green really does not tell us anything. So now we've amended the POA guideline, and it has been discussed with the national department. They are happy about it. So we are hoping that in the next cycle, in the next financial year, when people are saying we have achieved, really that would mean a positive outcome rather than just being achieved, but then there's no contribution in terms of growth and job creation. And with the indicators of the outcome 6, it should be noted that there is a detailed report, because even though the department is highly involved, but there's a separate committee, which is PICC. So most of those indicators are reported on the PICC report rather than coming into the outcome 6 report. They just to say that on outcome 6 on the infrastructure related, these are the indicators, but you'll find the detailed report. And PICC, they are just their own committee that is more closed rather than us being open and share our reports with everyone else affected since the event of 2000. Thank you.
On public entities within EDD oversight. The public entities within EDD oversight is the Competition Commission, the Competition Tribunal, the Industrial Development Corporation, the International Trade Administration Commission of South Africa. So before I actually start with this slide, I just want to state that because these are public entities of EDD, and because these public entities are essentially an extension of EDD, it's expected that the department should also assess the APPs of these public entities. What we find generally is that departments transfer funds to public entities. They just do a transfer of a whole tranche of money. But they don't see what those funds are being used for, number one. The department doesn't see what aspect of the program that it developed the entity for is actually being is actually being fulfilled by the entity. So it's very important to for EDD to assess the plans of the entities moving forward. And while I'm stressing this, when I was at Treasury a few years ago, we did an assessment of the compensation of employees in public entities. And we did it across all provinces to see what do individuals and entities get paid. And we realized that they were being paid large amounts of money. And there was no oversight mechanism or no accountability mechanism to actually ensure how this money is being spent. So with that, in terms of the 2018-19 annual performance plan, we find that not all entities comply with the framework for staff plans and APPs. Some entities do not have budget and program structures. Not all entity plans are aligned to the medium-term strategic framework, and I think this is very important. Alignment to the department's mandate is not always clear. So a department creates an entity to do some aspect of its work, but we don't see that work coming across in the entities, in the plans of entities. In terms of the situational analysis, it's often not comprehensive. There are challenges identified without strategies to address them to ensure achievement of objectives. There's no clear policy focus over the planning cycle. The organizational structure is included, but no indication of contribution to achievement of objectives. And the MTSF outcomes listed without indication of entity's role. And I think what this slide is trying to say is that do entities deliver on the mandate that they have been established to deliver on? Are they delivering? Or do they have their own mandate? And do they or as entities an extension of a department, are they performing that extended services of the department? So that's the point I'm making. In terms of the 18-19 plans, in terms of the goals are often not at an outcome level, but they are at a very low level, an output level. They're specific to programs and not at an institutional level. In terms of the objectives, they're often not at output level, but activity level. They're not always measurable. The program performance indicators, lower level activities or operational indicators, they are financial indicators, they're not always aligned to strategic objectives. So when we were looking at the entity plans, we found that there was an entire program that only had financial indicators, but there was no output indicators there. So we don't know what is the output of this entity. Why does this entity exist? What is the budget of this entity being used for? It just doesn't come across clearly in the plan. In terms of targets, they're constant over the medium term, and this is interesting. When we say they're constant over the medium term, we say the targets don't change. And we always ask, whether it's a department or an entity, the question we ask ourselves is, shouldn't you be planning for increased service delivery? Why are your targets stagnant over the medium term period? Then you find that some qualitative indicators are not measurable. In terms of the TID, the indicators are not clearly defined and the SOs are not defined. So that's in terms of the planning. In terms of the quarterly performance reporting, we find that the public entities under EDD do not submit the quarterly reports to Treasury. The following must be noted. The Competition Commission did not submit a report for quarter one, submitted a report for quarter two, and submitted a report for and did not submit a report for quarter three. The Competition Tribunal submitted a report for all three quarters. The IDC submitted a report for all three quarters. The International Trade Administration Commission of South Africa did not submit any of the reports for any of the quarters. Now, the role of EDD comes into play here again. Because if EDD is transferring the money, surely they would expect quarterly performance reports to see how the money is being spent. because the quarterly performance report must go to the National Transferring Department and it must go to National Treasury. Apart from the transfer of money issue, the question we need to ask ourselves is how is EDD, how are they holding these entities to account for the transfer of money? If there's no quarterly report, they don't really have an idea of what has happened in each of the quarters and whether the extension of their mandate is being achieved. So as well as giving some information on each of the entities, in terms of the competition tribunal, for the first quarter, the entity achieved over 75% of its targets for quarter one. The entity should improve on the reasons for deviation. The entity has overachieved in a number of its set targets for the first quarter. Examples of some of the overachieved targets are percentage of large mergers to be set down for the beginning of a hearing or three hearings with 10 business days of the filling of the filing of the merger referral. The quarter one plan target is 75%. The entity exceeded and achieved 91% in quarter one. The next one is the percentage of large merger orders issued to parties within 10 business days of last hearing date. The quarter one plan target is 95%. The validated output is 100%. Still on the competition tribunal, the entity has reflected underachievement in a number of its set targets. If we look at the first one, the percentage of intermediate and small merger considerations to be set down for the beginning of a hearing or a pre-hearing within 10 business days of the filing of the request. The plan target was 75%, the entity only reached 50%. If we look at the next indicator, well, they do have a reason there. They say two matters were set down and one was delayed as parties were not available on earlier dates that were offered. If we look at the next indicator, the percentage of procedural matter orders issued to parties within 20 business days of last hearing date. The quarter one plan target is 85%, the validated output is 60%. The reason for deviation is 4 of our 10 decisions were issued late, the shortest period out of time being 25 days and the longest being 67 days. Now, the issue that I was speaking to earlier comes into play here. Do the reasons for mitigation actually speak to the reasons for deviation? So in other words, what mechanisms will the entity put in place to fast track some of its process to achieve the target set in the APT? Through the competition tribunal, the entity has achieved over 58% of its set targets in quarter two. The entity should improve on the reasons for deviation to reflect the root cause for the underachievement. The entity should improve the corrective actions to reflect the solutions to be implemented to ensure that the planned target is achieved in future quarters. This is very important. Because when an entity or department does not reflect clearly the collective action, it means they don't really have the will to urgently make a change, you know, to address it or to fast track the delivery. And we find that in a number of instances. So we expect concrete actions in terms of how service delivery will be improved to achieve the targets in the APP. The entity has reflected overachievement as well in a number of set targets. If you look at the percentage of large merger orders issued to parties within 10 business days, quarter two plan target is 95%, but they achieved 100% at the end of the quarter. If you look at percentage of large merger reasons issued to parties within 20 days, the plan target is 70% and they achieved 84%. The department has reflected underachievement as well in a number of its targets. If you look at the percentage of large mergers to be set down for the beginning of the hearing, the planned target is 75%, they only achieved 69%. And they speak about unavailability of parties. The next indicator, the percentage of intermediate and small merger considerations to be set down at the beginning of a hearing or a pre-hearing. The plan target is 75%. The validated output is 60%. Again, they say 5 matters were set down and 2 matters were not set down due to lack of parties. The same competition tribunal, they achieved 77% of the targets in quarter 3. The entity should improve on reasons for deviation. They should also improve on corrective action. But they've also reflected areas of overachievement. One such area, again, is the percentage of large mergers to be set down for the beginning of a hearing. Their planned target was 75% in quarter 3. However, they exceeded this and they achieved 84% at the end of the quarter. Similarly, with the percentage of large merger orders issued to parties within 10 days, their target was 95% and they achieved 100% at the end of the quarter. In terms of underachievement for the competition tribunal, let's look at some examples of the underachievement, and I think this is noteworthy. The percentage of procedural matter orders issued to parties within 20 business days, they planned for 85%, they only reached 46%. And this is less than half of what they planned for. So the question we'll ask ourselves is, does EDD have an oversight mechanism? Do they meet with these entities? Do they interrogate these quarterly performance reports? Do they interrogate the underachievement? Do they take it a step further? Do they look at the quarterly financials of these entities? And do they compare the quarterly financials with the quarterly performance reports? Because there should never be a case where an entity or institution, as I said earlier, exceeds their budget for a quarter and then don't achieve their target. So the question we're asking ourselves is, what are they doing with the money or the budget? Are they spending it on the right thing? Similarly, percentage consent orders issued to parties within 10 business days. The target was 90% and the preliminary output was 86%. So that was the competition tribunal. Now we'll move on to the competition commission. So the entity has not set its target for quarter 2. The entity has not provided the reasons for deviations and corrective actions for underachievement. And of course the entity should provide these reasons for deviations because it will give us an understanding and it will guide them as to how they're going to achieve these targets moving forward. In terms of the IDC, the entity has not achieved its set targets for quarter 1. The entity has not provided the reasons for deviations and collective actions for underachievement. The entity should provide reasons for deviation. Then there are examples of some of the overachieved targets. So for example, turnaround times for non-complex transactions. The quarter 1 plan target, there was no plan target, but they give us a validated output of 18.3. The next slide, on second quarter, the entity has not achieved its set target for quarter 2. It's saying they do not provide reasons for deviation and corrective action. You see, if the National Department is assessing its quarterly reports and meeting with the entities and providing them with feedback, then the entity will know in the next quarter this is how they need to improve. And they'll actually provide a much more strengthened quarterly performance report. If we look at the fourth bullet, the entity has reflected overachievement in a number of its set targets for the second quarter. Examples of some of the overachieved targets are turnaround time for non-complex transactions, quarter 2 plan target, there's no plan target, but the entity reports a turnaround time of 20.9. So it goes back to the other issue we raised with the department in terms of the setting of quarterly targets. How do you set quarterly targets? How do you plan for the year? How do you set quarterly budget projections? All of these are actually interrelated. On the last slide of the IDC, third quarter performance, the entity has achieved 25% of its set targets for the third quarter. I think there's a mistake there. The entity has not provided the reason for deviation. And if we go to the fourth bullet, the entity has overachieved on some of its targets. So one target is the funding for localization initiative signed. They set a target of 3,300, but the entity has achieved 3,392. If you look at the turnaround time for non-complex transactions, there's no target for quarter two, but the validated output for quarter two is 22.5. So that's basically an overview of the entity quarterly performance reporting. Before I close the presentation, I just want to say that departments should have instituted processes to provide an oversight of entities. And when I speak about instituted processes, the first draft APPs of entities should go to the EDD at the end of August. And then the EDD must assess these APPs of the entities and provide feedback to the entities. The second draft of the entity must go to EDD at the end of November, because the budget projection becomes more real at the end of November. And then EDD must assess and provide feedback. Then the other role of EDD is they have to look at the quarterly performance report to see how the entities are performing. Because we normally say that most departments transfer monies to entities on a budget, but they don't follow through and they don't monitor and they don't hold the entity to account for it. And I'd like to say that these processes must be instituted not as a one-off. So after quarter one, EDD should be looking at the quarterly performance reports of the entity. They should be assessing it. They can bring Treasury into the assessment. And then they need to meet with these entities individually. So they have a one-on-one discussion on the performance of the entity, both budget performance and non-financial performance. And I think if we start introducing those mechanisms, then we will actually also strengthen the work of entities and actually enable them to perform their work better. Before I close, we did note that there was a need for support for public entities. And DPME has introduced a community of practice for public entities on planning and monitoring. But at the end of the day, the accountability lies with the transferring department, which is the national department, because they transfer the funds. So with that, I'd like to thank you for having Tula and us here. And that brings me to the end of the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much for the presentation. I think the presentation is quite eye-opening, especially on areas that this committee should have really pursued, the department and the entities on. When I look at some of the information provided here, it's quite clear that we fell short on some of the areas. And maybe that's the importance of this particular briefing, and the importance that you brief us prior to us actually considering the APPs of the department and the entity. We really appreciate this, and we would want to just ask questions of clarity and make comments where possible. I'll note member Starkinson, Ma'am Mfolo, Mema Simbi. In that order, please. Thank you. Kindly note the question. Take notes, and then you will respond afterwards.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. I just want to refer to page 29, which is the challenges in the quarterly performance reporting. And you show a slide in which the public entities under the EDG had a responsibility to submit quarterly reports to Treasury. And I was very surprised to see that ITAC would do that not at all, and the Competition Commission only provided one report out of the three quarters. Now, the one thing that we do know is that when it comes to the annual audit, the Economic Development Department always seems to do very well, and we get an unqualified audit. Would this not be something that should actually affect the audit system? I mean, the fact that you've got entities under your area of responsibility that are not actually reporting properly to Treasury, would this not be an issue for the audit, basically? It should not be noted there as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to ask a general question. To say, when you pick up that there are challenges in terms of compliance, in terms of reporting, as much as you are monitoring, do you also advise to say what needs to happen? And if you do advise, do they adhere to your advice or do they listen to your advice? Is that one of the things? And also to say, did you also advise the EPC to play an oversight because they are the ones who are dispersing their money? And if you did, what did they say? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'm covered by memo follow. My question is around that. After monitoring, then what? And what is the support that we're giving the department? And if they're not complying again, what is it that we are doing? Because we cannot be watching and giving advice. And if they still repeat, we don't do anything. I mean, what's going to force them? Because the observation, it says they are always deviating, and they don't provide reasons for deviating their budget. Now what? They are only spending money, but it doesn't contribute to the economic growth. Now why are we doing it if we can't hold them accountable? Thank you.
Thank you, Member Simbi. Any other? Nothing further. May I hand over to you for responses?
Okay, thank you, Chair. In terms of the first question on slide 29, yes, the AG will raise an audit finding when they're auditing the plans and reports of the public entity, but not of EDD. Because, for example, if you look at ITC, they did not submit the three quarters, so the AG will raise a finding with regard to ITC, but not with regard to EDD. Thank you very much for your question. In terms of the advice that we give them and what we actually do, we also assess the quarterly performance report, and we provide written feedback to the department. And we also assess the POA reports and we provide feedback to departments. We also started with performance dialogues with Treasury, where we look at the plans of departments and the budgets of departments, and we have a dialogue with the departments. And we see that very beneficial. So the performance dialogues are basically there to unblock any blockages for service delivery. So we started with that. But the other accountability measure we started is in the impact tool, the management performance assessment tool. I'm sure you're all familiar with that. So we brought in a standard which actually says, does the department assess the plans of their public entity? So in a way, we're trying to encourage and guide and maybe gently push departments, as you're saying, ma'am, to do what they're supposed to be doing. So we did bring that standard into the MPAT framework. The other thing that we've introduced at GPME is the platform for national departments with public entities. So it's a community of practice for national departments like EDD, DPI, health, education. And this community of practice only deals with building capacity of departments to provide support to their public entities. So we capacitate them on issues of planning, budgeting, reporting, and then we say, okay, you take this information and you go back and see how you can use it to support your public entity. And then finally, on the EDD issue, ma'am, all these slides that I've discussed, the AG actually audits using the principles that are actually embedded in these slides. So we have continued discussion with the Auditor General. The Auditor General audits the quarterly performance report. They will audit the reason for deviation. They will audit the corrective action. So from our side, we're actually trying to encourage the AG to also start using our frameworks, and they are using our frameworks. So I think I have to answer the question.
Yes, thank you very much. But I think the questions, especially the last two ones, were really focused on the repeated action on the part of the entities and the department. Hence, I think the Mr. Atkinson was asking whether that is that influences the audit opinion or not. Because, you know, you meet, you dialogue, you assess, you give feedback, you dialogue, but, you know, things get repeated, you know. There's no, because these issues you are raising here, we heard from you even before, and I think the questions before were also around the feedback that you were giving, whether were they taken seriously and whether the department was able to correct, self-correct. Because if I remember well, when we were using the performance assessment tool that we were using, most of the blocks were in the amber and the red. And you said you are continuously looking at this issue. At your level, with all the expertise you're having, and there's still non-compliance, I don't know what is the remedial action to that, because obviously you are positioned at the very your in terms of your office, it's at that level where you have a best eye view, and you are able also to take decisions or report where the decisions are not adhered to. So I was also interested in that question as to how is that going to be responded to. And of course, we're not running away from our responsibility also, because we're also supposed to be looking at this issue and making sure that we hold the department and the entities equally responsible. There's something that is quite, that's not clear here in your report on page, I think it's page, the one dealing with financial. On the one dealing with FSCA, I think.
Okay,
Yeah, that's the report on the MTSS. Yes, while I understand that this is in relation to okay. Is it classified information? I see it's written secret, so that's what I'm asking. Okay. I just want to understand this, because I'm seeing it for the first time that the department is really responsible for setting up or even for appointment of the authority itself. Is this the department's responsibility, or is it the cluster? Is it within the cluster?
It's within the cluster, but EDC is leading the discussion about who is supposed to do what together with regional clusters.
But does it fall within the EDC's mandate as a department?
It is. The cluster really is all under EDC, but not, it's under Treasury, but on the cluster is led by EDC.
Yeah, I think we need to really verify that information, because in as far as the mandate of the department is concerned, there's nothing around this particular area. There's nothing that says they need to appoint a commissioner, because if FSCA was falling under the department or Economic Development Department, we would have picked that up, because it's, to us, it doesn't have anything to in any relationship. It might be that within the cluster, they might have assigned EDC minister, not as a department, but as an individual, to lead this particular discussion, because you know that from time to time there are issues that are related. I'll take for instance with us, I might be the chair of the economic development portfolio, but I also sit in other committees. And while I'm sitting in other committees, I might be, for instance, given a task to lead a particular matter. That doesn't then add that responsibility to the EDC portfolio committee or the EDC portfolio committee. So I think this is one of those cases, correct? Yes. So I think it must be corrected, because that's not falling under it. The hands, even when you look at the APPs, is not part of that, of the issues that we look at. I've also seen the matter on the EPC, what is it? CCRED. While it falls also under outcome 6, but I feel that it's another matter that is outside the mandate of this particular department. These are some of the things that are overlapping, but not necessarily that they are led by the department, and therefore they do not form part of the department's core mandate. I just identified those two areas because I thought they need to be clarified so that we know in future what to look at. I am pleased though that even though I thought these two matters fall under the preview of, I mean, the purview of DTI. But I can see that you, in terms of the MTSF, it's supposed to be falling, for the, especially with regards to the interventionist mandate of the department. The sub outcome too. I think this is a matter that we need to focus on going forward, because this, I feel we haven't really, even though we've been asking questions, but they were not specifically related to this particular MTSF sub thing. Okay. I'm surprised also that the EDD is not there in terms of supporting the provinces in terms of alignment and other issues. The report that we got is that they do. And that's also reflected in the quarterly reports of the department. And that is led by the deputy minister. That's the task that's led by the deputy minister. Maybe what is lacking on our side is the actual interrogation of those reports, aligned to the indicators, of course, because if we look at the interventions that have been done at the, not only at provincial but also at municipal level, in as far as infrastructure development is concerned, I think the committee has felt, you know, that there is some work that is being done. But if you feel that is not recorded accordingly because you assess the report, and you assess the alignment as indicated within the report, then I think it's something that we really need to look at going forward, so that we see whether this is justified or maybe we've been lacking. I think those are just few areas that I thought I must just look at. I must just get clarity on, so that going forward we are able to do our job properly. I am agreeing with you in most of the things that you highlighted on, and these are issues that we've been talking about. But I think what was lacking from our side is how to really put them to the department in such a way that they are able to recognize, you know, their deficiencies in terms of this particular issue. Very difficult in, when you look at broad indicators. But what I've realized that both department and the entity, when it comes to issues of targets and so forth, they shy away from that, because, you know, targets is very easy to hold you accountable. As compared to just broad, you know, response area. And it also frustrated me, I think, in the last, in the fourth parliament, when I looked at how they're doing their things, because I was sort of used to target-orientated kind of planning. But we also understand that people do things differently, and I thought because it was acceptable at this level, therefore we should also follow suit. But now that you're going back to this, because I looked also at the briefings that we got before, either from FFC, while FFC to some extent still believed in the target, but all other, you know, briefings that we got, it was not necessarily on meeting targets, it was just on adhering to relevant policies and also adhering to other, whether it's the principles outlined by various acts that we have.
So this comes in handy to me and I guess also to the committee members, hence the questions that you have received. So we're hoping that you will be able then to ask better questions so that you can get also to assist the department to align with possible. Maybe you can respond and then we can close the question.
Just a quick one on the questions that were asked. Our department, unfortunately, has not been like, for example, the National Treasury, where you've seen the consistency that the department maybe is not spending, then you withdraw the budget. Hence, we were trying, as my colleague was saying, with trying it to be, because what we've also discovered, the M&E concept in departments theoretically is understood, but in terms of implementing it, it was a different case. So we thought we should put all the tools of trade in place before we can be kind of like harsh. And so far, we don't have a legislative mandate that would authorize us to say, if you are not performing, it means, for example, let me make an example of your EDD, DTI, small business, where you find that they've got this kind of like similar mandate. It was before with your DTI, and now DTI, EDD, they are fighting because they think this mandate is within their line of work and whatnot. So we always say the departments must sit together. We come as a referee to say they must negotiate with this, because you find Treasury is dumping funds on one and the same work. So we thought for now, let us put all the centers of government, Treasury, ourselves, the Auditor General, and make sure that now this M&E concept is fully understood. Therefore, we'll see constitutionally, if I may put it that way, how then our work would be elevated in such a way that we can be harsh in our decisions, rather than to try and assist people to say, these are the remedial measures, this is how you can better improve your work and so forth. In terms of the quarterly reporting and the targets, let me speak on the MTSS. What we've seen that that is why now we've opted for the POA, that was the cabinet decisions, because the trend has been that you've seen departments reporting on the very operating staff. Your quarterly target would be your workshop and whatsoever, yet this is a strategic document, this is a strategic objective. So we're trying to avoid that. Then hence we said, if it's possible, don't have a quarterly report, a quarterly target for the sake of having a quarterly report that is so not impactful or at an outcome level, but is very at an operational level. That was the idea behind of avoiding targets somehow at an MTSS level.
Thank you, Noctula, and thank you, Chair, for that. I do agree that we need to remedy the situation. But I want to be honest, like with regard to the issue that you raised on the support to provincial departments. So I was personally responsible for trying to drive that process. And that process, as I said, entails EDD calling all 9 provincial departments of EDD together, coming up with a set of indicators aligned to the MTSS. So in other words, EDD is playing its oversight role and its support role as a national concurrent function department. We had many meetings with the department, I think more than 4 actually. And I think, yes, the team within DPME rallied together to try and get this process going. But we were never able to get this process off the ground because one thing or the other came up. And the sad part is that provincial departments want this leadership and support from the national department. So I'm not sure when EDD says it's providing support, what kind of support it is, and whether it's actually being used to enable the work of the provincial department. Chair, the process that I'm speaking about is a process that has been introduced in about 10 or 11 concurrent function sectors. So education has it, health has it, social development has it, COCTA has it, and a few others. So it's nothing new. So I think we need to understand what we mean by support, but I think we also need to see how we can get the department more involved in the provincial concurrent function space. In terms of how we deal with the repetitive findings, as I said, we also share these reports with the AG, and the AG does audit departments and entities, and they do find, and they are finding based on the report. However, within DPME, we have other platforms, like the Provincial Planners Forum and the National Planners Forum, and the Community of Practice for Public Entities, where we profile these kinds of reporting, and we try and say, okay, this is how you can do better. These are the processes you need to introduce. So we step it out, you know, step by step. We bring Treasury on board to see how they can bring in their budget processes. So we align planning, budgeting, and monitoring. So all of that is work in progress, and I'm so optimistic that we will get better as we move on. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Although I believe that you don't need to have powers as Treasury or whatever. All what you need is to understand that you are set up within the Presidency for a particular purpose, to help the Presidency in understanding certain issues, especially around issues that need a global view. So you are there to ensure that the President or the Presidency understands what's going on, what is being adhered to, what's not being adhered to, so that in the cabinet or in whatever forum that he has with the ministers and premiers, he's able to allude to those particular issues. Because service delivery, most of the time, is hampered by such issues of non-adherence, non-compliance, you know, and not being able really to challenge yourself to the outmost. So that is the problem that I think we need to keep on doing. Otherwise, Ms. Mosley, Ms. Zuma, thank you so much for being here and for briefing us and actually opening our eyes on some of the issues that we might have not looked at. And surely this is coming quite handy to us, especially during this process we're involved in now. Thank you so much for your attendance and the briefing and the responses to the questions posed. I think this member value your work. These questions do not mean that we do not value the work that we're doing, but we can always, all of us, improve. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank
you. Colleagues, we'll continue.